The Dialogue of St. Catherine of Siena, Part 27. Of the Death of Sinners, and of Their Pains in the Hour of Death. Not so excellent, dearest daughter, is the end of these other poor wretches, who are in great misery, as I have related to you. How terrible and dark is their death! Because in the moment of death, as I told you, the devil accuses them with great terror and darkness, showing his face, which you know is so horrible that the creature would rather choose any pain that can be suffered in this world than see it. And so greatly does he freshen the sting of conscience that it gnaws him horribly. The disordinate delights and sensuality of which he made lords over his reason accuse him miserably, because then he knows the truth of that which at first he knew not, and his error brings him to great confusion. In his life he lived unfaithfully to me, self-love having veiled the pupil of the most holy faith. Wherefore the devil torments him with infidelity in order to bring him to despair. Oh, how hard for them is this battle, because it finds them disarmed, without the armor of affection and charity, because, as members of the devil, they have been deprived of it all. Wherefore they have not the supernatural light, neither the light of knowledge, because they did not understand it, the horns of their pride not letting them understand the sweetness of its marrow. Wherefore, now, in the great battle, they know not what to do. They are not nourished in hope, because they have not hoped in me, neither in the blood of which I made them ministers, but in themselves alone, and in the dignities and delights of the world. And the incarnate wretch did not see that all was counted to him with interest, and that as a debtor he would have to render an account to me. Now he finds himself denuded, and without any virtue, and on whichever side he turns, he hears nothing but reproaches, with great confusion. His injustice, which he practiced in his life, accuses him to his conscience, wherefore he dares not ask other than justice. And I tell you that so great is their shame and confusion, that unless in their life they have taken the habit of hoping in my mercy, that is, have taken the milk of mercy, although on account of their sins this is great presumption, for you cannot truly say that he who strikes me with the arm of my mercy has a hope in mercy, but rather has presumption. There is not one who would not despair, and with despair they would arrive with the devil in eternal damnation. But arriving at the extremity of death, and recognizing his sin, his conscience unloaded by holy confession, and presumption taken away, so that he offends no more, there remains mercy, and with this mercy he can, if he will, take hold on hope. This is the effect of mercy, to cause them to hope therein during their life, although I do not grant them this, so that they should offend me by means of my mercy, but rather that they should dilate themselves in charity, and in the consideration of my goodness. But they act in a contrary way, because they offend me in the hope which they have in my mercy. And nevertheless, I keep them in this hope, so that at the last moment they may have something which they may lay hold of, and by so doing, not faint away with the condemnation which they receive, and thus arrive at despair. For this final sin of despair is much more displeasing to me, and injures them much more than all the other sins which they have committed. And this is the reason why this sin is more dangerous to them and displeasing to me, because they commit other sins through some delight of their own sensuality, and they sometimes grieve for them. And if they grieve in the right way, their grief will procure them mercy. But it is no fragility of your nature which moves you to despair, for there is no pleasure and nothing but intolerable suffering in it. one who despairs, despises my mercy, making his sin to be greater than mercy and goodness. Wherefore, if a man fall into this sin, he does not repent, and does not truly grieve for his offense against me as he should, grieving indeed for his own loss, but not for the offense done to me, and therefore he receives eternal damnation. See, therefore, that this sin alone leads him to hell, where he is punished for this and all the other sins which he has committed. Whereas, had he grieved and repented for the offense done to me, and hoped in my mercy, he would have found mercy. For, as I have said to you, my mercy is greater without any comparison than all the sins which any creature can commit. Wherefore, it greatly displeases me that they should consider their sins to be greater. Despair is that sin which is pardoned neither here nor hereafter. And it is because despair displeases me so much that I wish them to hope in my mercy at the point of death, even if their life has been disordered and wicked. This is why, during their life, I use this sweet trick with them, making them hope greatly in my mercy. For when, having fed themselves with this hope, they arrive at death, they are not so inclined to abandon it on account of the severe condemnation they receive, as if they had not so nourished themselves. All this is given them by the fire and abyss of my inestimable love. But because they have used it in the darkness of self-love, from which has proceeded their every sin, they have not known it in truth. But in so far as they have turned their affections towards the sweetness of my mercy, they have thought of it with great presumption. And this is another cause of reproof, which their conscience gives them in the likeness of the devil, reproving them in that they should have used the time and the breadth of my mercy, in which they hoped, in charity and love of virtue, and that time which I gave them through love should have been spent in holiness, whereas, with all their time and great hope of my mercy, they did nothing but offend me miserably. Oh, blinder than the blind, you have hidden your pearl and your talent, which I placed in your hands, in order that you might gain more with it. But you, in your presumption, would not do my will. Rather, you hid it under the ground of disordinate self-love, which now renders you the fruit of death. Your miseries are not hid from you now, for the worm of conscience sleeps no longer, but is gnawing you. The devils shout and render to you the reward which they are accustomed to give their servants, that is to say, confusion and condemnation. They wish to bring you to despair, so that at the moment of death you may not escape from their hands, and therefore they try to confuse you, so that afterwards, when you are with them, they may render to you of the part which is theirs. Oh, wretch! The dignity in which I placed you, you now see shining as it really is, and you know to your shame that you have held and used in such guilty darkness the substance of the Holy Church, that you see yourself to be a thief, a debtor, who ought to pay his debt to the poor and the Holy Church. Then your conscience represents to you that you have spent the money on public harlots, and have brought up your children and enriched your relations, and have thrown it away on gluttony and on many silver vessels and other adornments for your house, whereas you should have lived in voluntary poverty. Your conscience represents to you the divine office which you neglected, by which you fell into the guilt of mortal sin, and how even when you recited it with your mouth, your heart was far from me. Conscience also shows you your subjects, that is to say, the love and hunger which you should have felt towards nourishing them in virtue, giving them the example of your life, and striking them with the hand of mercy and the rod of justice. And because you did the contrary, Your conscience and the horrible likeness of the devil reproves you. And if, as a prelate, you have given prelacies or any charge of souls unjustly to one of your subjects, that is, that you have not considered to whom and how you were giving it, the devil puts this also before your conscience, because you ought to have given it not on account of pleasant words, nor in order to please creatures, nor for the sake of gifts, but solely with regard to virtue, my honor, and the salvation of souls. And since you have not done so, you are reproved, and for your greater pain and confusion, you have before your conscience and the light of your intellect that which you have done and ought not to have done, and that which you ought to have done and have not done. I wish you to know, dearest daughter, that whiteness is better seen when placed on a black ground, and blackness on a white, than when they are separated. So it happens to these wretches, to these in particular, and to all others in general. For at death, when the soul begins to see its woes, and the just man his beatitude, his evil life is represented to a wicked man, and there is no reason that anyone should remind him of the sins that he has committed, for his conscience places them before him, together with the virtues which he ought to have practiced. Why the virtues? For his greater shame. For vice, being placed on a ground of virtue, is known better on account of the virtue, and the better he knows his sin, the greater his shame. And by comparison with his sin, he knows better the perfection of virtue. Wherefore he grieves the more, for he sees that his own life was devoid of any. And I wish you to know that in this knowledge which dying sinners have of virtue and vice, they see only too clearly the good which follows the virtue of a just man, and the pain that comes on him who has lain in the darkness of mortal sin. I do not give him this knowledge so that he may despair, but so that he may come to a perfect self-knowledge and shame for his sins, with hope, so that with that pain and knowledge he may pay for his sins and appease my anger, humbly begging for my mercy. The virtuous man increases thereby in joy and in knowledge of my love, for he attributes the grace of having followed virtue in the doctrine of my truth to me and not to himself. Wherefore he exalts in me with this truly illuminated knowledge, and tastes and receives the sweet end of his being in the way which I have related to you in another place. So that the one, that is to say, the just man, who has lived in ardent charity, exalts in joy, while the wicked man is darkened and confounded in sorrow. To the just man, the appearance and vision of the devil causes no harm or fear, for fear and harm can only be caused to him by sin. But those who have passed their lives lasciviously and in many sins receive both harm and fear from the appearance of the devils, not indeed the harm of despair if they do not wish it, but the suffering of condemnation, of the refreshing of the worm of conscience, and of fear and terror at their horrible aspect. See now, dearest daughter, how different are the sufferings and the battle of death to a just man and to a sinner, and how different is their end. I have shown to the eye of your intellect a very small part of what happens, and so small is what I have shown you with regard to what it really is, to the suffering, that is, of the one, and the happiness of the other, that it is but a trifle. See how great is the blindness of man, and in particular of these ministers. For the more they have received of me, and the more they are enlightened by the Holy Scripture, the greater are their obligations, and the more intolerable confusion do they receive for not fulfilling them. The more they knew of Holy Scripture during their life, the better do they know at their death the great sins they have committed. And their torments are greater than those of others, just as good men are placed in a higher degree of excellence. Theirs is the fate of the false Christian, who is placed in hell in greater torment than a pagan, because he had the light of faith and renounced it, while the pagan never had it. So these wretches will be punished more than other Christians for the same sin, on account of the ministry which I entrusted to them, appointing them to administer the Son of the Holy Sacrament. And because they had the light of knowledge, in order to discern the truth both for themselves and others had they wished to, therefore they justly receive the greater pains. But the wretches do not know this, for did they consider their state at all, they would not come to such misery, but would be that which they ought to be and are not. For the whole world has thus become corrupt, they being much more guilty than seculars, according to their state. For with their stench they defile the face of their soul, and corrupt their subjects, and suck the blood from my spouse, that is, the Holy Church. Wherefore, through these sins, they make her grow pale, because they divert to themselves the love and charity which they should have to this divine spouse, and think of nothing but stripping her for their own advantage, seizing prelacies and great properties, when they ought to be seeking souls. Wherefore, through their evil life, seculars become irreverent and disobedient to the Holy Church. Not that they ought on that account to do so, or that their sins are excused through the sins of my ministers.